understand who Jesus Christ is, the need for repentance of sin, and be willing to confess Him and be baptized, and your sins will be washed away. And I pray that you won't be like that song talks about, almost persuaded, almost for lost. That almost is not good enough. We want to make sure that we can go to heaven. And so if there's any way we can aid you in doing that tonight, at the end of the lesson, let us know. I failed to mention, and I believe it was just this last week, or maybe 2 weeks ago, that we had mentioned times past about Ron Daley and about his condition and improvement. I saw where Steve Wolfgang, a fellow preacher, had mentioned that Ron actually had the opportunity to preach the lesson a week or two ago, either last Sunday or the Sunday before. And so he's improving, and his injury is quite serious that he had. But I know that they are very appreciative of our prayers and keep on praying for his continued recovery. Tonight what I want to do is want to look at an area I guess you call Christian living. We've been talking about Proverbs, about various things Proverbs teaches and talks to us about. And we want to continue on that theme here as we want to talk some about anger. As you look at it, think about this. And that is, this anger we realize is neither good nor bad by itself. That you think about it, in fact, most people, that we don't want to be angry. And sometimes people have a better handle on it than other people. There may be at times you look at somebody and you don't think, well, they're at their best when they're angry, and very few of us are. But some people may look at you and wonder, do they ever get angry? And you find out later on, they may say, if you actually ask that question, they say, oh yeah, I get angry a lot. But they're able to handle, able to disguise it a lot. And other people that you are around, you may think about that, you know, that you know exactly when they're angry, that they don't try hard at all. There was a guy in college, and I did a little bit of weightlifting with him, that he was a pretty strong individual, and he was the type of person, really nice guy, until he got angry. And at that point there, you might as well get away from him, because he was not a type of person you want to be around at all during that time period. You had to let him calm down, center burn down. But anger by itself is neither good nor bad. It's kind of like fire. And that fire is good, that we use it to heat our homes, we use it to cook our food, that we use it in a combustible engine to give our cars power. At the same time, fire can be used so as to destroy things. It can burn up the home. That fire can often cause a great forest fire that the Bible talks about. And so we understand there's a difference in its purpose and also the control that we have with fire. So it is with the idea of anger, as talked about in the book of Proverbs. And as you look at it, anger with, as I said before, that under control and discipline would be good. In fact, there's times the Bible talks about that we need to be angry. That we think about, if you look at, maybe if it could cause you to be more productive. It may cause you to do something, maybe to address an issue that you really don't want to address with somebody, but because they have made you angry and you want to address it, to talk about it, that may be good. It needs to be addressed. And so there's times it really can be good, but also, honestly, the times that it gets out of control. And in that case, it'd be very destructive. How many times people have done something and then had to come back and apologize for it or regret the rest of their life because they were angry and did something they would almost never do under normal circumstances. And so we look at this here, and we find that one of the dangers about anger is that we feel often justified. And there may sometimes be reason why we are angry. And we may have justification to be angry. But we may think that that gives us justification to do whatever we want. After all, how many times have you had somebody say, well, I did it, but you know, they made me angry. If they hadn't have said that made me angry, then I would not have done it. It's their fault. Well, that's trying to justify their actions. And so when you look at the anger, it's talked about in the Bible and the book of Proverbs, we find some definition. One is the word anger is translated from the Greek word orge. And the Greek word orge, as definition says, indignation was arisen gradually and becomes more settled. I like to compare the idea. You have your stove and you put maybe a pot of water on a burner. And you don't turn it all the way up, but you turn it up where it starts warming up gradually. If you leave it on there long enough, it becomes really hot. And that's the way a lot of times anger is. That it's something that a person allows to simmer for a while, and something happens and upsets you a while, and you keep on thinking about it. That vine says, or suggests a more settled or abiding condition of mind, frequently with a view to take revenge. In other words, after a while, he started thinking about, how can I get back at that person? What can I say to them? Or how can I even a score? Maybe kind of way that kind of anger there works. But then there's also another word for anger, wrath. And there the word thumos. And wrath is the idea of basically a passionate anger. Sudden outburst. We may call it rage at times. And we read about road rage where a person seems to be going along just normal and all of a sudden something happens and they just fly off the handle. It is lose control. And as you look at this here, that Barclay says, the blaze of temper which flames to violent words and deeds. And think about this anger, it's this anger in action, where the other type of anger is something that simmers for a while and you take the time by far expressing it. But this here kind of anger is actually very quick. And the action comes very quick. Now, it's been said that anger can be good or bad, but wrath is almost, as far as people are concerned, is almost always bad. And then another word for anger is the idea of provocation. We may say, well, they provoked me. Well, that comes from this word here, paragomos, or I guess I've been close to pronouncing it right, but basically that kind of anger is talking about, it's basically orge, that is a simmering type of anger that you let stay for a while, you let simmer for a while, but it's on steroids. And they become really more or less bitter about it because the anger that irritates, you know, sometimes people do something and they keep on doing it, and it irritates us, and after a while we get exasperated by it, and then we get really bitter about it. We have that kind of attitude towards that kind of person or towards them. And so again, this idea here of maybe rage is closer to the idea of our English word in the Bible. And the answer in the Bible basically it says, okay, get angry, and what you have to do is you have to be careful. And as you read in various passages of the Bible, it talks about this anger. Notice Ephesians 4 verse 6 here, that we have the oars as a simmering anger, when it said be angry, and do not sin, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. That's the idea, again, of the anger on steroids. And so, again, it says, okay, don't you know, let it control you. But we go ahead and look at another passage, Ephesians 4, verse 31. And there you have, let all bitterness, wrath, and that is the idea of thumos there, a sudden passionate anger, and then you have the slow simmering anger said, and it said, an evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So one says, don't let it simmer. The other says, put it away. Then another passage we can look at, Ephesians 6, verse 4. And talking about children and parents. And there it says, and ye fathers, not provoke your children to wrath. And here's again, to rage. But bring them up with the training and admonition of the Lord. You know, there's the idea of discipline the Bible talks about. But then there's the idea where you go beyond that, where you actually provoke them to do something. And so that's what it's warning us about in that passage. And then another passage we look at is over in Colossians 3, verse 8. And there it says, but now you yourselves are to put off all these, and he mentions anger, the oars, the slow simmering type, and the wrath, the thymos type of anger. And so he says, and along with the other things, put off all these things. And then another passage we look at is over in Mark 3, verse 5. And Mark 3rd chapter, verses 1 through down to verse 5 here, a man is brought to Jesus, and Jesus has withered hand, and Jesus asks the question, is it lawful to heal a person on the Sabbath day? And the Bible says that they didn't answer him. And so that's the response there. Verse 5 said, when he had looked around at them with anger, and you know, again, it wasn't rage, it was the type of thing where he just simmered And this is a number of times Jesus asked questions and they wouldn't answer him. And the reason, not because they didn't know the answer, because they did not want to grant him the answer that they knew was right. And so it said, being grieved by the hardness of the heart, he said to them, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out and his hand was restored as whole as the other. And this tells me there's times that anger is justified, as I said earlier in the lesson. And so that's one of those where He was angry at them. And then finally in Revelation 19th chapter. And here we have a judgment. It's talking about the judgment upon the nations. And so you find verse 15 says, and out of his mouth goes a sharp sword that with it he should strike the nations. And himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads winepress of the fierceness, thymos, wrath of God, and wrath of the oars of Almighty God. And so these verses here, somebody shows how they're using the Bible and how they ought to go together. And a warning a lot of times to us is, be careful about it. And so we think about this anger, of uncontrolled anger. Okay, what's some of the characteristics of that? Well, one thing is, the Bible says, it acts foolishly. And that is, you look over in Proverbs 14, verse 17, it said, a man of quick temper acts foolishly, but a man of discretion is patient. And that is that often this kind of anger is really out of proportion whatever it is that got the person angry. You know, there's times people react and we may think, well, what was that? There had to be something else besides maybe just what you said to them or just what happened. And this is the kind of anger where you look and somebody does something again that's simply just out of bounds as far as a response to whatever happened. Proverbs 29, verse 20. You see, a man hastens words, there's more hope for a fool than for him. And all of us probably have either situations, personally we talk about, our friends or people being around that has told us about what they've done, and we just think, well, that's kind of angry right there. I remember a preacher was talking about restoring a car. And so he worked on that car and got restored, and he got in it to actually start it up, and it didn't start. The motor wouldn't kick off. And said he just made him so angry that he actually took some kind of instrument, I forgot, it was a hammer or a wrench, started beating on the car. And his wife said, what are you doing that for? He said, well, it won't start. And she said, well, did you put gas in it? And he realized he hadn't put any gas in it. He said he felt pretty foolish about it. About another guy, a preacher friend of mine, was out golfing with a couple of elders of the congregation. And the elder, one of the elders tell me about that, said he got so upset because of missing a swing there, hitting the ball wrong, they took his five iron and went up to a tree and wrapped it around that tree. Now afterward, the guy calmed down. He said he came back and apologized, said he doesn't know why he responds that way. He said just the way he responds at times on golfing. And so this may be a kind of case where, again, we did something, and since we do, we realize that was really stupid. And so that's one idea, is the uncontrolled anger. Another is that it leads to sin, of a lashing out of somebody. Over in Proverbs 29, verse 22. An angry man stirs up strife, and a furious man abounds in transgression. They're not concerned about the law of God at this point. They're simply responding by pure emotion. And we find in James 1, verse 20, talking about that, says, the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And so we think about this kind of anger, again, it may be that person starts using profanity. Now, normally we would not use the kind of words because they're angry and they start to use profanity or abusive speech. Or maybe start slandering somebody. They want to fight somebody. They want to go for revenge. All these things would be that kind of anger. And a lot of times in the news when we find of a murderer and we talk about crimes of passion or crimes of rage, a lot of times it's connected to this here. And that is they simply lashed out. And we find, again, examples in the Bible about this. Think about Cain and Abel. As Cain killed his brother because God had rejected sacrifice. Now, we may think about Joseph and his brothers. As they put him in a pit and debated whether or not to kill him and then actually sold him into slavery. And this here is that kind of sin, that kind of anger. But then also we have stirs of strife, and that is fighting. It's another characteristic of foolish anger, uncontrolled anger. Over in Proverbs 15, verse 18, it said, the wrathful man stirs of strife, but he who is slow to anger allays contention. And this is that he wants a fight. And generally this kind of person can find somebody who's going to fight him. There's a story about an Arkansas that the police received a call from a lady. And she said, ask questions. I want to see how much a fine there is for fighting assault and battery. And they told her that she wanted to know because she wanted to beat up her sister and wanted to find out if she could afford it or not. Well, again, this is a, she determined she was going to do something, just it stirs up strife. But then also we have the idea of leaves the individual exposed to the devil. How many times do you look at the Bible and find warnings like Cain, where God tells him sin lies at the door and he can have some rule over it? Oh, we have passage that talks about the wiles and schemes of the devil. Well, one of the schemes the devil uses is an individual anger. And so we look at Proverbs 25, verse 28, and there it says, whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. At that time period, the walls of the city was the defense for that city. And so basically it's saying that if you can't control yourself, you know what? You are susceptible to anything. You're susceptible to maybe drugs, or you're susceptible to, again, anger. Now, how many times do we look at somebody and think they're their own worst enemy? That if they just could control themselves, then they would have made. And that's just showing his, again, the problem that people have with their anger, that they may even understand they have a problem with it, but they just can't hardly control themselves. I'm reminded of Woody Hayes. Woody Hayes was a legendary football coach for Ohio State. And Woody Hayes, that I remember as a child, probably a young teenager at that time, watching a Gator Bowl. They were playing Clemson. As the last minute of the game, and the Ohio State's driving for the touchdown, and they throw the ball, which by itself is almost a miracle, because Woody Hayes didn't believe in passing. However, when they threw the ball, Clemson player intercepted it. And the Clemson player ran out of bounds. His problem was he ran out of bounds exactly where Woody Hayes was. And Woody Hayes proceeded to punch him repeatedly on national television. Woody Hayes won, no telling how many football games, Ohio State. However, by the next morning, Woody Hayes was without a job. Ohio State realized they could not have that kind of exposure. And he was a person that, again, he did what other teams could not, and that is he defeated himself. And again, we may have examples of that, of the person that simply cannot control themselves. And Ephesians 4, verse 26 says, be angry, do not sin, do not let the sun go down your wrath, or give place to the devil. That last part, don't give place to the devil with your anger. There's a song, or excuse me, in Proverbs 22, verse 8, he who sows iniquity reaps sorrow, and the rod's anger will fail. So we have all these, we're talking about again and warning us about our anger. This here, the singer Pink. And as I know, as far as lifestyle and overall philosophy of life, that she is, by the way, as far away from me as you can get. However, I like some of her songs because her lyrics a lot of times are so true. And this is one of those in the song, Don't Let Me Get Me. He said, every day I fight a war against the mirror. I can't take the person staring back at me. I'm a hazard to myself. Don't let me get me. I'm my own worst enemy. It's bad when you annoy yourself. So irritated. Don't want to be my friend no more. I want to be somebody else. Anyway, when I hear those lyrics, I think about how many people could relate to that in various areas of life. One of those is the area of anger. How many times people say, I know I shouldn't have done that. I know I had a problem with that, but they keep on doing it. And so anger is one of those that, again, leaves the individual exposed to sin. But also, the Bible says, it promotes jealousy and cruelty. Then we look over Proverbs 27, verse 4. Wrath is cruel and anger a torrent. But who is able to stand before jealousy? I thought about the condition of jealousy, obviously worse in this passage. But notice here that wrath is cruel. People often do bad things, very vicious things, when they're angry. And anger a torrent. It's like a storm gets carried away. And so we have that about it. And finally, it causes misery for everyone. Now again, I don't think any of us are such a disposition. Somebody said, yeah, I like it when Dennis is angry, but I tell you, he's a lot of fun then. And that's not the way people respond, is it? But it points out that nobody really likes to be around an angry man. In fact, Proverbs 22, verse 24 says, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go. Just stay away from him. And there are certain people that you look at and you realize that their disposition is such that I just need to get away from that person. And that's the proper thing to do. But then also, One is the characteristics then of control anger. Well, control anger, you look at the Bible, and one is godly. And that is, instead of the anger bringing us away from God, this is the anger then that we find that God actually expressed. There's times God got angry. And think about whenever the children of Israel made the golden calf. God was angry there. Now, again, I'm not saying we can be God. But we understand there was an anger that was justified because of the hardness of heart, or deviating from the word of God. That we think about when the children of Israel got involved in idolatry and being carried off in captivity, they were incurring the wrath of God because of what their action was, as a proportion, but also after the patience of God. And so we need to have patience. But also there are times we look at and realize that the anger of God was justified. And there's times we look and realize there are times that anger is justified. Not only that, but also it is unselfish. Jesus was angry when he cast the money changers out of the temple, John 2nd chapter. And the reason, because they had taken the house of God and made a den of robbers or thieves, he said. And so it wasn't the fact that just personally, it was the case of what they had perverted the gospel or temple of God into, that he got angry right there. And his anger was related to the cause. And again, there are things that should cause to be angry. When you see about immorality, maybe you see things as far as how people are living their lifestyle, the drugs, and how they destroy people. You see those pictures of people before and after a meth, and you just look at their lives and think about the waste of that life. That should make you angry. About division inside the Lord's body, when Christians cannot get along, that should make us angry. And maybe it also things such as hypocrisy or prejudice. All those things are things that should make us angry. They're not, it's unselfish though. We hate the sin. We hate the results of that sin. An example of a person that got angry, at times it was controlled, at other times it was not, is Moses. We find over in Exodus 32 verse 19, as Moses comes down from Mount Sinai, the children of Israel had made the golden calf, or Aaron had made it. But they're worshiping this golden calf and dancing around and having a good time. And so it was, as soon as he came near the camp, they saw the calf and danced, and Moses' anger became hot. He cast the tablets out of his hand, brought them at the front, foot of the mountain. Now he was angry both because of the sins they were involved in, because of what they were doing. And later on, I might add that whenever God talked about he would just destroy that nation, make a new nation out of Moses, that Moses actually interceded on their behalf. And so there was an anger that was controlled. It was an anger that was justified. Because of sin. However, as you go on, we have a case where he sinned with that anger. And this here is Numbers 20, chapter 2. And there said, you know, there's no water for the congregation. They gathered together against Moses and Aaron. And notice they're against. It didn't say with them, but they gathered against them. And notice that the people contended with Moses and spoke, saying, we only had died when our brethren died before the Lord. And you know, when you read through the accounts of the children of Israel wandering in the wilderness, that they complained a lot. And Moses had to deal with that for about 40 years. So it goes on, and God tells him, take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together, speak to the rock before their eyes will yield us water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock and give drink to the congregation and their animals. However, you know the account. Down verse 14, it said that Moses and Aaron gathered and assembled together for the rock. And he said to them, hear now, you rebels. Must we bring water for you out of this rock? Then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation of animals drank. But if you go on to the next verses, God tells them, because he had struck the rock and not simply spoken to it, they had not howled God, had not respected God. But you look, they see the difference here. See, Moses is angry and about himself. And so when we get angry, we need to ask, am I angry because I'm being selfish? Yeah, again, a controlled anger is one that's unselfish. But not only that, but also is under control. And that is something that we understand that we control it instead of it controlling us. And 1 Peter, or 2 Peter 1 verse 5, we have all these qualities talked about. We have to talk about Christian virtues or Christian qualities. faith, and they talked about the virtue, knowledge, but knowledge, self-control. And self-control, perseverance. You look at the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5th chapter. And you'll have in that list there the idea of self-control. And that's so vital for a Christian. Because that's one thing we can't control. There's a lot of things in this life we can't control. I can't control you. I can't control our economy. I can't control the weather. And we just list all these things we cannot control. But the one thing I can control is myself. And so whenever we get angry, it's our responsibility to have control of that. And so it is under control at all times. And then also is temporary. The passage we read earlier. And that is to be angry and sin not, do not let the sun go down your wrath. What does that mean? Well, we said earlier that the word orge means to kind of put on the back burner or let simmer there for a while. And some people are pretty good about simmering. You know, they just kind of keep on holding on to something. They keep on thinking about it until it kind of gets warmer and warmer and finally starts boiling over. He said, don't be like that. And don't let that wrath, don't let that anger just sit there and sit there and sit there. You got to get over it. It should not be a way of life, being angry. Have you known people like that? That just seem like they start out the day angry. That's the way of life. Every day they're angry. He said, no, this should be something that's temporary. And you got to get over whatever it is that you're angry about. We have to release the anger. And then finally, it's constructive. And that is, a controlled anger will help us do something. It will provoke us to action, to doing something that's good, something that's right. Again, I bring out Jesus as he cleansed the temple. And there is a case that he took care of a need because it needed to be taken care of. They were perverting the temple of God. And so it may force you to talk to somebody because they sinned against you and you're angry. Where normally you say, well, I'll just let it go. But this here time, you don't let it go. You don't talk to them about the sin. And so we look at it as constructive in its nature as far as a controlled anger, as the Bible talked about. And basically the Bible says we have to have a controlled spirit. In Matthew 5 verse 5, it says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the temple of God, or shall inherit the earth. Yeah, that's one of the qualities of meekness. And gentleness means strength under control. Moses is described as being a very strong man. But yet he's also described as being a very meek individual. And as Christians, that's the way we are to live our lives. With meekness, but also strength. And maybe sometimes anger, but also controlling that anger. And so hopefully this just kind of, again, said earlier, that we just kind of go some of these qualities talked about in the Bible as far as we need to develop and have in our lives. Hopefully it's one of those that you can say, I got that box checked up. I'm doing okay. But if you're like most of those, you think, well, you know, there's times I have to watch out for myself and maybe just kind of spur you on to keep on doing that. Go ahead and open your songbooks now, 348, as we have this here as our